Let's continue study the book of Jeremiah. Chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 6 to chapter 5. It talk about the sin of Judah, the southern kingdom. And the sin was unfaithfulness to God. Let's look into verse 8. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8. I saw that all the causes of which backsliding Israel has committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a certificate of divorce. And yet her treasurer's sister Judah did not fear. So the Bible uses marriage to describe our relation with God. And the northern kingdom, Israel, worshiping the idol. So spiritually, it's like a commit adultery. And we know that one husband and wife, till they died, till one party died, and then the marriage will finish. And that is what the Bible says. And divorce is allowed in one condition, but it's not encouraged, which means the other party commit adultery. So usually, even other party commit adultery, we still encourage another party use a heart of forgiveness to maintain the marriage. There are two reasons. The first reason is for the sake of the children. The children needs to have support of the parents. If the children raise up in a single family, usually the children is going to have a lot of problem. And the second reason is because even both of them divorced, and the divorce party will sometimes cause another breakup of another family. So a divorce family will cause a lot of problem. So only one condition allowed for divorce is committing adultery. And then the northern kingdom worshiping the idol spiritually was unfaithful to God. So God was able to give them certificate of divorce. And once give them the certificate of divorce means their relation with God is finished, officials ended. So God used his relation with the northern kingdom had been severed. Use this example to warn the southern kingdom. Next part. Yet her treasurer's sister Judah did not fear. Is God of blessing. Is the Lord of the universe who cut off the relationship with the northern kingdom And the sister Judah, the southern kingdom, are supposed to use this example as a warning. Why do we study history? Because we study history to learn a wisdom. We don't have to repeat the same mistake other people did, and to learn a lesson. We can shorten the learning curve, right? So that we can do a right thing, we can live a right life. That's one of the reasons why we study history. And the Southern Kingdom failed to learn a lesson from what happened to the Northern Kingdom. So the Southern Kingdom repeat the same mistake, just what the Northern Kingdom did. So sometimes if we look into our family member or even our parents or the parents' parents, we should learn a lesson. So we should not repeat the same mistake. If we read from Genesis chapter 12 to 50, right, we can see that Abraham's son, what's his name? What was Abraham's son? Isaac, right? Isaac's wife is, what was the name of Isaac's wife? Rebecca, right? Is that right? Oh, okay. And Isaac has how many children? Two children, right? Oh. And if you look into the family relationship of Isaac, any problem? Yes, they do have problem, right? The father loved Esau, the mother loved Jacob. Oh. And that kind of family is going to have problem. So later on, the mother encouraged Jacob, right, to cheat for a firstborn son. All the blessing belong to you, all the curse belong to me. That's the best deal, right? So the son just cheat for the firstborn, right? And because of this, Jacob had to run away until the mother died, and he didn't have any chance to see his beloved mother anymore. However, when Jacob himself became a parent, became a father, how many children did Jacob have? 12, right? But he still show favoritism, all right? One is most beloved by Jacob, who? Joseph, how do you know? He has a cross of what? Chai, rainbow cross. And that is a sign of favoritism. And because of that cross, he was sold to Egypt. And originally, he was the older brother planned to kill him. Also, Jacob failed to learn a lesson from his father, and he himself repeated the same mistake. So the tragedy happened to the family. The same thing, Northern Kingdom already been cut off from God, and the Southern Kingdom still repeat the same mistake. So it came to pass through her casual harlotry, adultery, that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stone and the tree. It's difficult, right? Difficult to understand how to commit adultery with the stone and trees. The only way you can understand it from spiritual way. So if we look into the Ten Commandments, sin can be categorized into two parts. The first is morality, which means from the fifth commandment to Ten Commandments. And this sin in morality aspect, we have a conscience to prick us so we know we have sinned. If you talk back to your parents and have a very bad relationship with the parents, a lot of time our heart will, conscience will tell us we have something wrong, right? But the first commandment to false commandment, a lot of good people in the world, they keep almost every one of the little part of the Ten Commandments, but they fail to know they have sinned. Because this sin is in the spiritual aspect. And in the spiritual aspect, We can only know our sin when the Holy Spirit moves us. If Holy Spirit does not move us, we don't know the sin at all. So when a person believe in Jesus, and moved by Holy Spirit, and look back at the way they live, all of a sudden they feel they are sinner, not because of morality wise, but because of spiritual perspective. They don't worship the only one God, the Lord, the Father. The second, and they worship the idol. And that is the greatest sin. The Israelites commit adultery in a spiritual sense with the stone and tree, because they use a stone and tree to make idol. So that means commit adultery spiritually with the idol. And because of this, the land had been defiled. Sin, there are a few things in the Bible to describe sin. First, sin is sickness, like leprosy, incurable sickness. So Jesus Christ say only the sick needs physician. When Jesus Christ says sick in that particular moment, referring to sin. And most serious sin, a sickness is leprosy. You cannot cure it. The only way is you have to separate the person, because it is contagious. And when the person who had leprosy, they walk around, they have to carry the knife, just like this, right? And keep on ringing so people will run away. And your whole life, and part of your body gradually rotten. This month the nose gone. And another month, one part of the ear gone. Another month, the finger gone. So look into themselves, feel very terrible. You want to die, but you cannot die. You want to live, you cannot live a normal life. And this is the terrible consequence of leprosy. And sin is the same thing. We are supposed to look like God, right? Because we are created with his image. And because of sin, eventually we are going to die. But before we die, we don't live up to the image of God, right? Our personality, our character has a lot of shortcoming. Spiritually speaking, we are infirmity. We are born with infirmity in spiritual sense. We know what is good, but we fail to do it. We know what is bad, we continue to do it. Sin is sickness. And then sin is just like something dirty, because it's sin. So here say, commit sin, defile my land. So the Bible say, if we have sin, we defile our body. Our body are supposed to be the temple of God, and God dwell inside us. But if we have sin, our body have been defiled. You know, every day we take shower, right? We take bath, because we want our body to be clean. But if we sin, every day we watch the pornography, we talk bad words. That means in the spiritual perspective, we defile ourselves, become a dirty person, stinky person. So the holy God, the clean God of holiness, who has a fragrance, spiritually speaking, has a fragrance, it just cannot live inside us. So when the Israelites commit spiritual adultery, the land had been defiled. So if they did not do something very quickly, they will repeat the same thing, like a Northern Kingdom. God is going to give them a certificate of divorce and send them away. Away to where? To Babylon. Once God's protection gone, then the enemy will come. So if we read the book of Ezekiel, the temple of God was filled with glory. Because filled with glory, that means God was with them. If God was with them, nobody can touch them. Just like if God with us, nobody can touch us. Every one of us, God sent the angel to protect us. If God doesn't allow, nothing is going to happen to us. And that is the source of peace. But once we commit sin, God withdrew himself. And God sent away the angel. And then we are vulnerable to Satan. We are vulnerable to anything happen. So the Israelite facing this spiritual crisis very much. And then verse 10. And yet, for all her treasurer sister Judah had not turned to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, had not turned to me with her whole heart. So what God really requires us is our heart. But in pretense means what? In formality, it seems they turn to God. Right? What is informality? Oh, you want to offer the sacrifice, they may do it. You want to keep the feast, they may do it. So outwardly, they offer the sacrifice. Outwardly, they keep the feast. According to the Mosaic law, how many festival, and how many offering? Mosaic law, how many feasts the Israel have to offer, to keep? How many different kind of offering? Huh? Seven, right? Seven feasts, 七大节期. How many offering? Five. 五大献祭. In Leviticus, seven feasts, five offering. So superficially, they just do the same thing. But inside their heart, their heart is in idol, worshiping the idol. So that means they do not turn me with their whole heart, but in pretense. That very similar to what? Right now, when you are ready to get married, you start to have a relationship with somebody, you exchange the email, exchange the text, but the other party in reality already have a heart to other people, right? How do you feel? You feel you are cheated, right? They just the person pretend to continue the relationship, but they already have somebody in mind. Then when you know it, you feel very angry in your heart, right? So to God, the Almighty God, he feels he cannot accept. They have not turned to God. So what God really required of us is not a worship in formality. No. What God really requires us is we worship him from our heart. What God wants us is our heart. So don't think God wants our money. I was in Nigeria because a very rich businessman, his wife, went to London and walk around and look into TJC signboard, and his wife joined the London church for a few times and live in Nigeria capital at that time is Lagos. So we visit the businessman wife and talk with the businessman. We stay in his home about 4 hours. In 4 hours, he asked about 5 to 6 times, if I baptize in your church, how much money your church asks me to offer? So the rich man cares the most is how much money the church will ask me to offer. We told him, our church offering box is in there, in the back. Right? It's different from Africa churches. Africa churches, when they want to offer the money, what I say is non-TJC. They use a big tray in front of the chapel. Then they make people to dance. And then queue, line up, and offer the money. Everybody can see how much you offer. So a lot of people was forced to make offering. Why? Because everybody looking, right? So you had to do something. But in our church, everything is in the offering box. So for this businessman, he thought, what God want me is my money. Actually, it's not that way. God want us to have heart to him. And tithe is only a way to show our appreciation to God, tithe. But if we put the tithe into offering box, right? The Saturday after the service, the treasurer of the church opened. Hey, all the money gone. How come? Because God take it. You offer to God, so God already take it. Did that happen? It never happened, right? You offer offering box, and then open it. It's still there. So the treasurer, the congregate, deposit in the bank and post in the board, right? How much money they receive, and for what? For NYTS. So you have delicious meal, you have ice cream, you have air condition, you have everything. So we offer to God in the name, loving God, right? Actually, all go back to everybody. Right? So God wants our heart. It's not God wants our money. We already use the money back to ourselves. If we don't want to offer, first, how can we show God, I appreciate you? Second, if we don't offer, that's fine. The next NYTS, we fast 3 meals a day. Can you do it? Because nobody offer. The weather is so hot, no air condition. Can you do it? Right, you cannot do it, right? So don't think that God wants our money. No, God has everything. How come God wants your money, right? What God wants is the heart. So God said, Judah has not turned to me with her whole heart. Even we don't offer too much money, just like a widow only offer 2 coins. But to God, she offers the most because she offers the money, she is supposed to use that money to purchase the food. So she offers 100%. So if God look like the money, God look at the widow's offering, only 2 coins, too little, right? Can you offer 2 coins in the offering box? You will feel a lot of people feel very shame, right? If you offer a note, you drop no sound. You offer two coins, everybody, no, you're offering a quarter. Another son, a second quarter. Everybody offering had no noise. Only you're offering a noise. That makes a lot of embarrassment, right? But to God, that is the most, 100%. So God wants us to have our heart. It's not outwardly. So we come to the church, not because I show off. If I don't show off, then I'm going to receive phone call or email. Somebody still ask me a lot because of that I come to church. No, because I show my heart to God. So the Israelites failed to turn to God with the whole heart, but in pretense. A religion with pretense is a superficial religion. It's a religion in formality, and it's not a true religion. And this kind of worship is definitely cannot experience anything because God is spirit. So those who worship God must worship in blank and blank, fill the blank. Those who worship God worship in what? Spirit and truth. Yeah, spirit. Your heart and the truth according to the Bible. So that's chapter 3, verse 10. Verse 11. Then the Lord said to me, backsliding Israel has shown herself more righteous than the treasurer Judah. Verse 12. go and proclaim these words to the north and say, return, backsliding Israel, say the Lord. I will not cause my anger to fall on you. Oh, for I am merciful, say the Lord. I will not remain angry forever. Only acknowledge your own iniquities that I have trespassed against the Lord your God. You know, when you are almost graduate from high school or you go to college, you start receive the promotion of credit card, right? Apply credit card. How come credit card is good? Oh. One way, is credit card is good because if anything happens, credit card company will help you to right is wrong, right? The second is the credit card has a grace period, usually 1 month. And after the grace period pass, and then they will give you penalty plus interest, right? Oh. Here is the same, the grace period of God. What is the grace period of God? The Southern Kingdom, they commit fornication, spiritually worshiping the idol. The grace period, say, God say, return, right? I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not cause my anger to fall on you, which means if you don't return in a certain period of time over, then the anger of God will come. So before the anger of God come, and this is the grace period. Please fully utilize the grace period and turn back. Oh. The only thing is acknowledge your iniquity. If you're a credit card company, right? If you use a lot, people like use credit card a lot. Why? Because when you use a credit card, you don't have to pay the cash. You only sign, and you have iPhone, you sign, you have iPad, you sign, you have MacBook, you sign, you have this, you sign, you have that, you can only sign. So a lot of people just sign it and you have everything, right? No. But when the statement comes, it's, oh, this is mountain of debt. No. What can I do? Oh. Well, when you ask for your parents' help, your parents say no. No. You are adult, 18 years old. You are responsible to yourself. I can pay your tuition, but this kind of spending, I'm not responsible. Then what can you do? Then all of a sudden you receive a email or mail from the credit card company, right? Just like here. Only acknowledge your iniquity. You only acknowledge you are wrong. Then I'm going to cancel all your debt. Will you do it? Will you do it? The credit card company say, you only say, I'm sorry, I cannot pay it, and I will cancel everything. You are going to do it, right? Thousands of debt can be canceled. You are going to do it. But you see the Israelite, God is saying, only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgression against the Lord your God. Oh. Only you have to do that, but they don't want to do it. Don't you think it's kind of foolish? Yes. And that kind of foolish actually happened to me, happened to everybody, right? God said, you only say, I'm sorry, and God is going to forgive your sin, right? Cancel all your debt. And you still say, I know, I'm not going to do it. Oh, I try to hide my sin. Oh, you know where we can hide our sin. Oh. So there will be a grace period. Before the grace period expires, do it. Oh, before the NYT is finished, do it. Oh. Count every sin we have committed against God. And just like here say, God is going to cancel all our sin, relieve all our debt. Then you become free, not burdened, because your sin has been forgiven already. So here God says, right, return. Verse 12. Return, backsliding Israel. In the book of Zechariah, God said, if you return to me, I will return to you. Oh, think about this. If you return to me, I will return to you. God said, if we return to him, and the Almighty God will return to us. It's very easy to know the people fall in love? How do you know? How do you know the people fall in love? Well, newlywed, very easy. The people keep on looking each other 24 hours, then it's fall in love. All right. Then how do you know the couple fighting with each other? Very simple. They don't want to look each other. Refuse to look each other. Then you know the couple are fighting, probably today or yesterday. Right. And so when God says return, means what? If you return to me, and I will return to you, means the Israelites' face, they are looking into the idol. And since they look into the idol, their back facing God. And they sin against God, so God don't want to look into the Israelite. And God's back are facing the Israelite. And both of them, original is a spiritual married couple, right now look into different direction. Oh, there is no harmonious. Right. But now God say, if you return, you have to return first, right? Oh, if you return, then I will return. If we look, pay attention and focus our life on God again, and God is going to turn back and use his face to shine upon us again. And then this relationship will be normalized, and we will receive God's blessing again. So from what God say, we understand. We understand. Even though we are nothing, like a dust, but God still take care of us, right? You know, a big company like Apple or Google, even a person want to work for that kind of company, sometimes it's very difficult. Right? You must be very outstanding. So for a very big company to be so merciful to an employee, the employee makes some mistake, right? A lot of times they don't have second chance. You've just been fired right that moment if we make a major mistake. But God, the Almighty God, who in control of everything, when the Israelites commit so major mistake worshiping the idol, and God was so merciful to them, treat them so well. If you return, I'm going to forgive everything. Why God do so? We and God are not equal at all. And why God care? The only thing is God's love and faithfulness. The time we baptize, we have covenant with God. And that covenant guarantee God is going to love us as long as we maintain our part of the covenant. So the most difficult part, usually we think about is God. The human relation with God, the most difficult part is God. Because God is so great. So is the universe. I'm so tiny. Why will God listen to my prayer? It seems God don't care. No, it's not true. The most difficult part is human being. We don't want to return. Even we want to return, we cannot do it. We are the most stubborn people. So from the Jeremiah chapter 3 onwards, we continue to read it, and you are going to see God's merciful calling for so long, for 20-some years, ask them to come back and to return, to change, and they refuse it. And when that grace period expires, the terrible thing happens. So return to God, and this is a calling nowadays to every one of us. Return, and God will return to us. And our relationship with God will once again be enhanced, and very intimate relationship. Now, we look into chapter 3, verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14. Return, O backsliding children, said the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Yes, very clearly, I am married to you. Almighty God loves the human being and want to have a unity with the human being and want to bless the human being with all abundance of blessing. So I will take you from a city to from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. It's so gracious promise. Bring you to Zion, a land filled with honey and milk, a land filled with peace, joy, and righteousness. A land filled with power and prosperity and eternity. So wonderful. Verse 15. And I will give you shepherd according to my heart, and who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. So God promised to be gracious to them, to treat them very well. Where can you find this kind of God? How do we define superstition? How do we define superstition? How to define superstition? A religion cannot explain the reason it's superstition. A worship cannot tell the reason it's superstition. Just like your parent, right? Not your parent, or your relative, or your grandparent. A lot of Oriental, they worship the ancestor. They worship the idol. If you ask them, why do you worship this man-made God? They cannot tell you any reason. The only reason is because this is tradition. This is Oriental tradition. So you just follow it. So a lot of people, they worship their God with no reason at all. There's no any comprehensive reason at all. But the God we worship right now, there is a reason, and there is so many explanation in the Bible. So the whole Bible is trying to tell us the God we worship. And in the book of Romans, just explain why we have to believe in Jesus. Why does Jesus love us so much? And how can we be justified by believing in Jesus? So our religious belief have a lot of truth there, have a lot of reason behind. So this is not a superstition. So here, verse 16, we just read, the Israelite, God told them, a good shepherd will feed you with knowledge and understanding. So it's very important our faith should be rooted in knowledge and understanding. Yes, I receive Holy Spirit. At that right moment, I know there is God. At that right moment, I know God abides in me. In that right moment, I know God loves me. And when I pray, my sickness has been cured. When I pray, God listens my prayer and give me whatever I ask. Is that good enough? No, that kind of faith is not good enough. The faith is good enough only when we are rooted. Rooted in where? I know the church pastor. I have a very good relationship with the church pastor. I know the who and who in the church. I have a good relationship with them. Is that good enough? No, it's not good enough. What is the best faith? The best faith is rooted in the truth, rooted in the knowledge of God. The reason I am in TJC is not because I'm the third generation, I'm the fourth generation, and I cannot betray my father, I cannot betray my grandparents, so I have to remain here. The reason I'm here is not because TJC, I have a lot of connection, I have a lot of friends, so I am here. The reason I'm here not because TJC have a lot of activity, so I'm here. All of that reason are not good enough. The true reason I'm TJC, because I know the truth is here. I know the salvation is here. So that is the reason I'm here. So if we have the knowledge and understanding of why I believe in TJC, even the pastor fall, even the best friend gone, even my parents die, even the activity finish, I am still here. Why? Because I have the knowledge of why I am here. So it's very important. It's very important. Our faith should be rooted in knowledge and understanding. So our belief is not a blind belief. Our belief is not because the family tradition. Our belief is not because of peers' influence. Our belief is because I know what I'm believing. Oh, it's so important. And so right now you are doing here are doing just for that reason. No. Of verse 13 and 14. Okay, verse 16. Then it shall come to pass when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord, that they will say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and it shall not come to mind, nor shall they remember it, nor shall they visit it, nor shall it be made any more. They are God say. When they multiply and increase the land of the Lord's days, and they will not remember about what the covenant, remember God's blessing at all. Oh. Especially verse 16. Oh. The covenant of the Lord, oh, they already forget it. So what does that mean? Let me ask you a question. Do you know the name of your father or mother? Of course, if you don't know your name of your father and mother, how come your father and mother pay your tuition, right? Do you know the name of your grandparents? Hey, I think 50% don't know it, right? Oh, do you know it? Yes, so some of you. Okay, do you know the father of your grandparents' name? I think 90% you don't know it, right? Still, a lot of your grandparents still alive, right? But you don't know their name. You only call them Agong, right? You know, don't know their name. That means that people are easy to forget. So if we think about after two, three generations later, who knows us? Nobody knows us. Because we remember nobody, right? So people are so easy to forget. The point is, after the Israelites, they increase, they multiply, they enjoy their life. They already forget the one who bring them into the promised land, which is God, their father at all. Oh, so people are so easy to forget. Once our life improved, we are enjoy our life. We put our heart into our life. We are ready to forget the one who saves us, the one who blesses us. We take it for granted. How come the life is so comfortable? Because I work hard. How come my life is so comfortable? What people think about? Because my father worked hard. Oh, right. So when we talk about all these kind of things, we forget the fundamental reason we live so good life is because God's blessing. We forgot about God's blessing. We only take it for granted, and gradually our heart departs from God. And that exactly happened to the time of Israelite. When they multiply, they build a good house, and then the fruit, bear a lot of good fruit, they gradually, their heart departs from the God who bring them there, and the God who blessed them. And their heart starts to gradually follow the culture of the people in that land, which is worshiping the idol. Once we forget about God, then our heart is just drifting whatever direction, being affected. So forgetting God is the beginning of sliding backwards. Forgetting God's grace is the beginning of sliding into the world. To remember God is very important. Let's pray inside. Amen. We are 20 minutes break.
We're going to be taking group pictures now, so if I could get the brothers to line up in a straight line from here, front in height order. And then when the brothers are done, the sisters, if you could also line up in height order, and then we're going to go outside for pictures. I guess we can start tallest over there, and then you can go down, yeah. As close as possible, it doesn't have to be exactly height order, but tallest can start by the door. Sisters, you can line up on this side of the pews as well. And let's remember that we're also in the chapel to keep our voices down. Thank you.
Taller than Danny.
Close enough.